when you're ready, basically.
Okay.
Okay, everyone ready?
Okay, I'll begin. Now that some...
We're starting with the next presentation, thank you.
That some oxygen is back in the room. Okay, hi. Compilation databases, going to talk a bit about that. Here's some motivation and examples. So we have some really simple project structure here, your typical project, I don't know. And you have a file that you compiled, file a.cpp. And here are some flags that you use to compile that file. Really simple, right? Now, the question that the compilation database kind of wants to answer is, which flags would you give your static analysis tool or whatever tool you're using for file A, for example? And also a bit more difficult to answer for file B, right? You really don't know which flags you should use just by looking at that. You as a human might know, but as a toolchain, difficult to answer question. And that is where a compilation database really comes into play. Mostly you notice that when something doesn't work. So you do some static analysis. So I don't know, I tend to use CMake, although I heard that there are not many fans around. works for me. And Ninja, all of these, they can do that. Like, I think for Meson, you need some script. If you don't, if your build system is some archaic stuff, you can still use Beer, or Bear. Beer you can also use, but maybe it's a better choice with Bear. You can it will do some LD preload magic, I think, and then intercept the calls to your compiler and then write out the compilation database for you, even if your build system doesn't support it at all. And also, Clang itself can kind of emit stuff that you can put in a compilation database with the -mj flag. But on the other hand, if you do that, then you already have the flags, right? So if you pass that flag to Clang, then you already have the flags. I don't really see a reason why you want to do that, like only for some weird script situations. Now, the problem, of course, is you only have that for compiled files, right? For header files, you typically don't compile them. So you don't have entries in the compilation database for your header files or for some other auxiliary files or files that you didn't compile yet, stuff like that. The file that you probably all have seen is the compile commands JSON file, all right, that lives somewhere in your build directory. It has entries like these, so there's the build directory is one of, so there is one file right now in this compilation database that is in the compile commands JSON. The command is there. You have which file was actually compiled here, so the file a.cpp, and which is the output file, and so in this case it's the main file. So this compile command is just one representation of the compile commands compilation database that lives on your hard drive. In Clang, or better, in Clang tooling, this is where the compilation database struct lives, or I think it's a class, but it's slightly simplified. It's actually pretty simple. So there are some methods for getting compilation database, some methods for loading them. So you give it, for example, some direction and say, hey, give me the compilation database that corresponds to this directory or this file. Or you say, I have this directory. Please figure out which compilation database I should use. This is what Clang also internally uses. These are more interesting for us. There are two things that that can give you so-called compile commands. You can either get all of them that are contained in your compilation database, like the files that you compiled, or you can ask it to give you compile commands for paths, for files that you want a compile command for. A compile command is also pretty simple. It's basically what you just saw in the JSON file, and like it's a directory, the file name. It has the output file name. It has the command line as a vector of string, so it parsed already the command line into arguments, which is actually pretty interesting because this is pretty fast. And I started looking into this because CompDB, which I previously used for doing like this stuff, it was really, really slow in doing exactly this step, parsing this and escaping the bash arguments into a string. And there's one thing that is called a heuristic. And a heuristic, that sounds promising, right? So you use some heuristic to figure out some flags that you don't really know yet. So what does Clang actually do to give you compile commands? So there's this JSON compilation database, which is just a specialization of the normal one that we just saw. It can load the JSON compile commands, JSON file, and then it's a compilation database. And it does some steps. So first it will do stuff like this here, expanding response files, which is just kind of irrelevant here. But what it will also do is it will infer the missing compile commands, right? And then it will also infer the target and driver mode. What it also does is it loads some plugins, which is not shown here. So what is actually the heuristic that is used by Clang? Because you may have noticed that you can open with Clang D use some other toolings on a header file and will not immediately break. It will try its best to figure out the flags that you're using. And what it does is it has this interpolation compilation database. And what it does, it finds the closest available file in your database that is already there. And then it awards points for path similarity. So it will use the base name. So for example, in my example here, this file a.cpp and file a.h, they have the same base name, so this is already a point. And then you have also in the local structure of your project, you have some path, and it will match on that. And depending on how similar the path is, it will award points. And then if you still have a ties, then it will use the prefix links as a tie break. And then in the end, it will replace the file name and also remove the output argument to, for example, work with header files, right? Okay, so now if you use that, this is the situation where it gets frustrating. You apply that now and you get some weird flags. Some that you didn't expect and didn't work. What happened? We have this, this other directory down there, still in gray. Some files lived in there. They matched better than our obvious file a.cpp. Bad luck, right? For me, that in other, that is often a copy of LLVM, and yeah, that matches a lot. Like, for me, that happens a lot. Good. So now we know what the problem is and what the solution might be. Let's start building our own CB. But first, I will tell you why you might not be doing this. If you are happy with the default, obviously, you don't need to put any effort in, right? It works for you. Perfect. If your structure is simple of your project, don't put any work into it. Also, if you cannot build your tools, like if you cannot build your Clang D, whatever, and you rely on some fixed version that you get from packages or something, also cannot use that because you have to link it. Also, if you're using Clang D, thank you. If you use Clang D, then chances might be that you can get around with modifying Clang D's very good configuration file. It is pretty simple, but you can get around in most of these problems. And if you can just use some script or some hack, do that. I was telling our working student that I was going to give this talk, and he was like, Pascal, what? I just use bash and replace that. Why would you do that? If you can do that, fine, right? But why would you want to do that? The number one reason, I would say, is you have way more information about your code base than anyone else. There are tons of discussions online in the in Clang-related like bug trackers and so on, where people come up and say, why don't we enhance the interpolation in this way, and then some other person comes along and says, yeah, we cannot do that because that wouldn't work for this and this cases. So you have all of the knowledge, and you don't have to be very conservative. The people who write Clang D and Clang, they have to be. Also, as I said, it's, I think, a very nice step into working with tooling. And also, if you're doing something really unconventional, I don't know, some live building or some obscure compiler that you use, also might be worth looking at this. OK, so let's build our own CDB. And something that's a bit more advanced, but that we can still now understand, even in the purpose, for the purpose of this demo, that also uses part of Clang-D's infrastructure, and is also somewhat useful, right? So we want something. What we could do is we can just use an include graph. So we have this, like here, say A includes the header file and so on. And this is some useful information. We can generate this information. We also have some additional information, for example, that file A and file B live in the same directory. That is also simple information that we can just use. Best thing now is that Clang already has information about that and tools to give you, to help you. Not going to go into all of these, but there is a nice scanning tool that scans for dependencies of file. You just give it a file and say, hey, what are its dependencies? And it will give you a list. Like, this is perfect. This gives you, that works with so this tool, dependency scannings are simple, but this is the part, obviously, where it could get very complicated and work intensive to find a good thing that does best the candidate here, right? Like, I did this graph thing now, but you know your code better. So that's basically it. So how you can use that? In Clang-D, it's pretty simple. You can just use a compilation database plugin, which is a very thin wrapper around this, what we just saw. In Clang, you have to manually override it. There are two ways to do that. Either you just change the code, just replace the class name, or you can do some linking. I will show you where. For the other tools, as far as I know, you have to do the same with as with Clang-D and replace it manually, which is a bit unfortunate. I think one can get it to work with all of the extra tools that are not Clang-D. You can also add your own plug-in system. So compilation database plug-in is actually just this, which consists just of this one method here that says load from directory. And you take this, and we can build our own one. So we have this, our custom compilation database plugin now. We have this load from directory. We append this known, well-known path, easy. And then we just instantiate our class and return it. Done. Fairly simple. Then there's one extra step that is might be a bit tricky. You need to link that in. And for that, you have to have this static variable created. The name is not very important, but you have to do that. And it uses an LLVM registry under the hood, pretty nice. With Clang, I'll upload this slide so you can take a look. You have to modify either of these here, which is a bit tricky. So the better way would be to use a plug-in system. If you have your own tools, just directly taken from Clang-D. This works for all the tools. If you just want to set your compilation database, you have the default ones, and you can override it with your own plugin then. OK. So this was a lot of code. I will upload this, of course. And there's also a demo project online if you want to take a look at that. If you are a beginner and you're just wanted to look into that, because I look at different LLVM code normally and not at this part of LLVM project. I had some nice experience with LLMs that I just asked them, hey, I want to do this kind of stuff. Is there something in Clang? And it was like, yeah, which is nice. And also, don't reinvent the wheel. If you have Clang already at your hand, there is so much stuff in there that you can just use, right? Don't have to do that. And also, maybe you just don't need this and can get away with the configuration. Okay, so there's a demo project that is online right now. You can take a look at that. If you are into Nix, you can just Nix build it. It should just work out of the box. And yeah, to conclude, the compilation database consists of compile commands, simple, that help your tools and your IDE. For unknown files, we have to use heuristics. And when you want to customize this behavior of the heuristics, you have to have some sort of this plugin. And the easiest integration that you can find is with ClangD, because there you just need to link in your own plugin, like I just showed you. OK. And last but not least, there are some resources, very good discussions about why you might do this and why it's not so easy as it seems when you first start. OK, thank you. I think we have 2 minutes for question. Are there any? Yeah?
So how often does the default heuristic fail? So how often do you need to implement your own one?
I think it's, so the question was how often does that fail and how often do you need your own one? So for me, it depends highly on the code base. I have my simple hobby projects where it just works 100% of the time, I'm happy. But for example, at work, I have experiences where this is maybe in 10% of the cases where it works. And I create a new file and it immediately breaks. And so something like that would help. Yeah.
How does this interact with C++ modules?
Oh, there with C++ modules, the question was how's the interaction with modules. It gets way more involved. So for example, the scanning tool has a different mode for modules. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't looked into that because we're not using modules yet. But yeah, there's much more work to be done, I think, yes. Yeah?
Just out of curiosity, what should the answer be if, for example, header file is included in two different files which have incompatible flags?
Yeah, the question was, what should be the way to do if some, what should be the way if two header files have incompatible flags?
One header file
with incompatible flags. I don't know. No one. This is the core question, the core problem here. No one really knows. And maybe you have the information for that, right? You have maybe some clever way of doing that. But generally, the people of ClangD, they cannot answer that for you.
We should ask LLMs to tell us for
that. Ah, yeah. Maybe not ask the LLMs for that. OK, I think we're running out of time. OK, thank you very much.